The Secret of Eurasia, The Key to Hidden History and World Events, by Mehmet Sabahedin. Quote, beneath the broad tide of human history, there flow the stealthy undercurrents of the secret societies, which frequently determine in the depths the changes that take place upon the surface. End quote. A.E. Waite. Have secret societies and occult brotherhoods been active behind the scenes of world events for thousands of years? Do these guardians of secret wisdom shape the growth of human consciousness and influence the destiny of nations? Are hidden masters of occult knowledge empowering and infiltrating certain political, cultural, spiritual, and economic movements in fulfillment of an ancient plan? Could it be that man's great upheavals, wars, and revolutions, as well as his pioneering discoveries in science, literature, philosophy, and the arts, are the result of a hidden hand? Can we decode history and find the mysterious interface between politics and occultism, thereby uncovering the real movers and shakers in our modern world? The German philosopher Oswald Spengler warned of a mighty contest between groups of men of immense intellect who the simple citizen neither observes nor comprehends. Back in 1930, Ralph Shirley, the editor of the London Occult Review, Britain's leading journal of esoteric sciences, endorsed the suspicion that the ranks of occultism are secretly working for disintegration and revolution. Positive proof in the shape of a group of occultists working this objective in view recently came under the notice of the present writer. Major General Fuller, a former disciple of Aleister Crowley, who had links to the British military intelligence, wrote about an insidious force using magic and gold, striving to gain world domination under an avenging messiah as foretold by Talmud and Kabbalah. Fuller's former chief, Crowley, worked as a secret agent for both Britain and Germany, although his British handlers noted his unreliability, warning he should only be used in espionage operations with the utmost care. During the First World War, the German Foreign Office secretly requested the occultist Gustav Meyring to write a novel blaming the Freemasons of France and Italy for the outbreak of war. Madame Blavatsky believed the Catholic Society of Jesuits had transferred their headquarters from the continent to England, where they plotted to plunge man into passive ignorance and institute universal despotism. The founder of the Theosophical Society, a woman of immense intellect and first-hand experience of secret societies, warned, quote, students of occultism should know that while the Jesuits have by their devices contrived to make the world in general, and Englishmen in particular, think there is no such thing as magic and laugh at black magic, these astute and wily schemers themselves hold magnetic circles and form magnetic chains by the concentration of their collective will, and when they have any special object to affect or any particular and important person to influence. The French Revolution, one of Europe's most important political upheavals, was largely the work of Masonic lodges dedicated to the overturning of the monarchy and an end of the established Catholic religion. In Proofs of a Conspiracy, John Robison showed that the political clubs and correspondence committees during the Revolution, including the famous Jacobin Club, sprang from these Masonic lodges. The influence on history of mysticism, the occult, and secret societies is generally dismissed by Western academics. Mainstream historians choose to ignore this aspect because they believe it has no real significance to world politics. In fact, it is only through acknowledging the role and influence of the occult underground that important world events can be fully understood and placed in their real historical perspectives. Atlantism versus Eurasianism. Secret societies and the teachers of occult wisdom consistently trace their origin back to the very dawn of civilization. Within Judeo-Christian culture, the secret schools speak of Adam, Seth, Moses, and the patriarchs as initiates of divine wisdom carefully passed from one generation to the next. Other occult groups look back beyond ancient Egypt and the mystery schools of Greece to the lost continent of Atlantis. Still, others trace their lineage to Samaria or Babylon and the mysterious plains of Tartary. Examining mankind's myths, legends, and arcane stories, we encounter countless references to a vanished primordial civilization. The brilliant French metaphysician René Guénon wrote of a great Hyperborean culture that flourished around the Arctic Circle and of its outposts Shambhala in the east and Atlantis in the west. Plato wrote of Atlantis, describing it as the heart of a great and powerful empire which, due to the indiscriminate mixing of the sons of God with the children of men, suffered violent earthquakes and floods, and disappeared beneath the sea. According to occult tradition, Atlantis came to an end after a lengthy period of chaos and disaster brought about, in the words of Madame Blavatsky, because the Atlantis race became a nation of wicked magicians. Atlantis was destroyed by a conspiracy of evil magicians who had seized control of the mighty continent. Long before the final end of Atlantis, great migrations took place to different centers of the Earth. In one legend, we are told of a righteous remnant journeying from the Arctic Circle to Shambhala, in the remote vastness of Central Asia. Other legends suggest Atlantean survivors established the ancient Egyptian civilization. Victoria LePage, the author of one of the most comprehensive studies of Shambhala, explains how Atlantis and Shambhala are more than mere geographical locations. Quote, "In folklore, Atlantis and Shambhala are implicitly linked together as charismatic images of heart's desire, two shining mirages that lie in the farthest horizon of human longing, unattainable, always receding as we reach for them, at best no more than ideal states of consciousness never realized. But their association seems to have a far more real and historically concrete basis than that. Initiatic tradition affirms that they have both genuinely existed, one in the Western Sea, the other in the Eastern Mountains, as linchpins of what was once a network of wisdom centers located on a great power grid extending around the globe. Further, Shambhala still exists within a framework that awaits reactivation." End quote. In order to identify the historical activities of secret societies, we need to appreciate the origin of a most powerful idea. Occult lore speaks of Shambhala as the positive center of the Brotherhood of Light, and Atlantis the negative center of the evil magicians, the Brothers of the Shadow. Whenever we look, we see the division of secret societies and occult endeavors into these two opposing orders. All occult movements and teachings inevitably serve either the Order of Eurasia or the Order of Atlantism, with their respective symbolic centers of Shambhala and Atlantis. Concealed behind a multitude of different forms represented by an array of unsuspecting agents of influence, these two centers, Shambhala and Atlantis, represent two different impulses in human evolution. Viewed from the perspective of sacred geography in our present historical cycle, Atlantism is the triumph of the most destructive and diabolical elements in the civilization of the West. One modern authority, Alexander Dugin, on sacred geography and geopolitics observes, quote, "Sacred geography on the basis of space symbolism traditionally considers the East as the land of spirit, the paradise land, the land of completeness, abundance, the secret native land in its fullest and most perfect kind. In particular, this idea is mirrored in the Bible text, where the eastern disposition of Eden is treated. Precisely such understandings is peculiar also to other Abrahamic traditions, Islam and Judaism, and also to many non-Abrahamic traditions, Chinese, Hindu, and Iranian. East is the mansion of the gods, states the sacred formula of the ancient Egyptians, and the same word for east, neter, in Egyptian, meant at the same time God. From the point of view of natural symbolism, East is the place where the sun rises, light of the world, material symbol of divinity and spirit. The West has the opposite symbolic meaning. It is the country of death, the lifeless world, the green country, as the ancient Egyptians called it. West is the empire of exile, the pit of the rejected, according to the expression of Islamic mystics. West is anti-East, the country of decay, degradation transition from the manifest to the non-manifest, from life to death, from completeness to need. West is the place where the sun goes, where it sinks down. Russia and the magical universe. Russia, geographically the largest country on Earth, occupies a unique position in the study of human history, furnishing us with a window into the world of secret societies, occult teachers, and subterranean political currents. Ideas and practices drawn from magic and the occult have always been a part of Russian life. In the 16th century, Tsar Ivan IV consulted magicians and was aware of the occult significance of the precious stone set in his staff. His reign was the culmination of the dream of building a prophetic religious civilization in the Eastern Christian tradition of Byzantium. Surrounded by secret orders of apocalyptic monks, Ivan saw himself as heir to the Israelite kings and attempted to transform Russian life in accord with his magical view of reality. Ivan was convinced the Russian nation had a special mission to accomplish, nothing short of the redemption of the world. In 1586, Tsar Boris Godunov offered the huge salary of 2,000 English pounds a year, with a house and all provisions free, to John Dee, the English magus and spy master, to enter his service. Dee's son, Dr. Arthur Dee, who like his father was an alchemist and Rosicrucian, went to Moscow to work as a physician. Mikhail Romanov, the first Tsar of the Romanov dynasty, allegedly ascended the throne with the help of Dr. Arthur Dee and the British Secret Service. Before their rise to power, the Romanovs were accused by their enemies of practicing magic and possessing occultic powers. The legendary account of Saint Germain, described as an alchemist, spy, industrialist, diplomat, and Rosicrucian, became involved in several political intrigues in Russia and was, according to Nicholas Roerich, a member of the Himalayan Brotherhood. In 1755, he traveled throughout Eurasia to study occult teachings and may even have visited Tibet. It is said that while visiting and studying occultism in Central Asia, the Count was introduced to the secret rites of tantric sex magic, which provided him with a technique to prolong his youth. He also engaged in spying operations against the notorious British India Company. Saint Germain founded two secret societies called the Asiatic Brethren and the Knights of Light. As early as 1780, he warned Marie Antoinette that the French throne was in danger from an international conspiracy of Brothers of the Shadow. Rumors continued to circulate for many years after his alleged death that Saint Germain was still alive, working behind the scenes in European politics or studying occult doctrines in Central Asia.